Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
I'm still continuing in my liberalism series, Liberalism, the New Improved Broad Road to Destruction. But I wanted to do a little housekeeping from last week. I had been sharing some updates on my ministry, and I had been sharing about a recent live stream webcast interview that I had done on UFOs. I had mentioned some websites, or at least some sites where you could listen to a previous workshop that I did at a discernment conference, and also a video interview I did for Topic UFO program, and I want to give you those sites in a minute. But first of all, I want to finish off where I left off last time, and that was reading an article by Dr. Danny Faulkner, associated with Answers in Genesis Ministry, Alien Abductions, Freaky or Fiction? And before I begin or finish that article, which I began last week, I just wanted to make a comment that I think is interesting and appropriate that, you know, the great Walter Martin, the great apologist, cult apologist Walter Martin, once upon a time, also had a sighting of a UFO himself. He didn't claim an abduction or any contactee, telepathic contact or anything like that, but he had a sighting of what he called a UFO. You know, people have that actually fairly often, and he spoke of that experience. And I had the cassette tape of that. I hope I still have it. I haven't looked for it recently, and I don't know what kind of shape it would be in. But CRI years ago carried that talk on UFOs that Walter Martin did. So it's still just as timely a topic as ever, and a serious topic that should be taken seriously. But I wanted to finish the article that I was reading last time by Dr. Faulkner, and then I wanted to move on to another update or two. This will probably end up being a two-part podcast, as I also want to update what's taking place with the exit of the United Kingdom, you know, Britain, from the European market, the European Union, as that's in the news, and I think, of course, prophetically significant. I might as well say now, you know, in the last several podcasts we had been talking about the ecumenical movement and the interfaith movement and the Roman Catholic Church's involvement, as well as other groups in trying to bring about some type of a one world religion. Well, you know, what's taking place now and has been taking place, of course, for some time is a movement towards a one world government. And but anyway, that's why I want to, and really I would put that under the broad topic of liberalism, because it's mostly the liberals who really want to move the world in that direction, not only in the direction of a one world religion, but also of a one world socialistic type economic system. And so it does really fit under this topic, but from time to time, I like to do updates, I like to do current events, as I think that they are all worthy of considering in terms of my general topic of deception in the last days, or really the title of my podcast, my program. So without further ado, let me just move to this article. It's entitled The Spiritual Connection of Alien Abduction Claims. Researchers have categorized some common elements to most claims of alien abduction. I'm going to start here where I left off. Another common element is that most people who have claimed these close encounters with aliens profess spirituality with a belief in God. As such, there is a wide distribution of denominations and sects represented among those who have claimed alien abduction. People reporting alien abductions also report indulging in the occult and New Age practices in much higher proportion than the general population. And that's why I think this is so significant when we talk about deception in the last days with this phenomenon. Conspicuously absent from those reporting alien abductions are those who are truly born again followers of Christ. And I should emphasize truly born again there. In fact, many researchers have collected reports of alien abductions abruptly ending when abductees verbally mention the name of Jesus. These facts are extremely pertinent. If those who report alien abductions are sincere and truthful in relaying experiences that they firmly believe occurred, then we are left with the conclusion that there is a spiritual component, and this, and that this spirituality is contrary to the Bible. This is just one front in a spiritual war to divert people away from the truth of Scripture. We have already seen that the implication of the Bible is that Adam's race is the only race of sentient physical creatures in the universe. That is, there are no ETs to fly spaceships to Earth. And that, of course, was in the earlier part of this article, which I won't be reading today. But if one believes in evolution, one must accept the likelihood that life, even intelligent life, has evolved many times on other worlds. Thus, if life exists elsewhere, then that would argue against the Bible and hence the God of the Bible. So a very effective tool in undermining the authority of the Bible and the gospel would be to convince as many people as possible that life exists elsewhere. What better way is there to do that than with flying saucers and alien visitations? Okay. Now, let me give you the sites where you can, if you're interested, take the time. In taking the time, you can see the I had on Topic UFO. If you Google that, Randy Shelton ufology and the Christian point of view, or the Christian POV, you can find that. It's on the YouTube channel, and also on Topic UFO, a good friend of mine, Gary Thomas, did a couple of talks. He did one on Jacques Vallée, who, if you know anything about UFO investigators, you know Jacques Vallée was one of the top guys, especially he and John Keel, when coming to the perspective that these so-called aliens or entities seem to be evil. There was nothing good about them in these men's men looked into the phenomenon. And anyway, I'll let Gary tell you the rest if you want to hear his program. On Topic UFO, Gary Thomas and Jacques Vallée. I forgot the exact title of his talk. And then at Discern 2005, and this was a conference that was in New Mexico that actually went for several years straight. And I had the opportunity to do two talks there. One was on UFOs, vehicles into the new age, or Satan's crash and burn. That was one of my topics. And the other topic I did was on Spiritism, a real and present danger, I think was the name of that talk. And both of those talks are significant in the whole realm of the paranormal and UFOs, etc., because of the great amount of Spiritism that's involved in much of the UFO phenomenon, at least the abductee and contactee phenomenon. So anyway, that site is discernconference.org /conferences/discern05. And like I say, you can also find the one I did on Spiritism. It's on the same page, along with some other great talks of all types of deception in the last days by some of my colleagues. Now, that's kind of some of the unfinished business that I wanted to finish, so to speak, or the housekeeping. But I also had wanted to mention one other updated thing. One other thing I wanted to mention was I have a couple of friends, and confidentiality is the name of the game, because they're involved in kind of a pioneering ministry to try to reach Tibetan Buddhists. Here in the States, that is. And so I can't really give out their full names and all that, but I did want to, because I had in the past, recent past, been talking about Thomas Merton and his connection with the Dalai Lama, who is really the head of Tibetan Buddhism, and talk about Spiritism, this is the segue, that Tibetan Buddhism is extremely shamanistic, spiritistic type religion, and the Dalai Lama is up to his ears in deceiving spirits, let's say. So Anyway, I thought it would be of interest to share that as just an update in my ministry. Some people that I'm my friends who are involved in this ministry, they could use your prayer. I'm going to refer to them as Mr. and Mrs. Christian because they need to be confidential in their contacts at this point in stage of their early ministry. But I would ask you to pray for, and I will give her first name, Karen, as she is going back for cancer surgery. It seems to be very curable from what I've told, but she's going to have to go back because they didn't get it all. And so I would ask you to pray for Karen, Mrs. Christian. anyway, this is the newsletter. I want to read a little bit of it. They had the opportunity to go and see the Dalai Lama at an event, and you might find it interesting. They talk about, also they mention here one of the people who was the head of this, well, like a monastery where they're making friends and trying to reach the folks. So I want to skip on to the Dalai Lama. It says Saturday, witnessing the Lion King in action. And again, Dalai Lama was very close with Thomas Merton, and they both were seeking to try to merge Catholic monastic monasticism, and Tibetan monasticism. And really, this is a big part of the interspirituality, interfaith move in the world. And these guys years ago were connected in this way. Merton has passed away years ago, and Dalai Lama's on his last legs, from what I understand. But anyway, it says, on Thursday, we were debating if we should pull out of our invitation to attend the Dalai Lama's teaching, perhaps attending this other individual's teaching threw us off. On Friday, we contacted this gal that they know to see what was happening for Saturday. She mentioned people were meeting at the center at 5:30 to carpool. God made it clear to us that he wanted us to go. We arrived at the center at 5:30 a.m. and told the director we could help carpool. We thought we would be helping this gal and a couple of her friends, but the director surprised us by telling us we would take the R-I-N, I'm just going to spell it for you, the R-I-N, or because I'll butcher it, R-I-N-P-O-C-H-E, and a visiting monk. We are thankful we have gained so much trust, and we were asked to transport R-I-N-P-O-C-H-E and the visiting monk. Okay, I'm not sure, you know, Rinpoche, I'm not sure exactly, but let's just read on here. We arrived at the venue at 6:15, and the line was already a block long. We got to our seats after 7 a.m. We sat with another gal, a practitioner, and her family. Sangha, the monks, sat among the dignitaries. We stayed out in the hot 97 degrees for the next several hours. God was merciful as he sent a lot of cool breezes every now and then. There were approximately 6,000 plus people in attendance. The venue blocked off a street and set up bleachers. It looked like the Rose Parade route. There were police officers all over the place and on rooftops of nearby buildings. It certainly was a sight to see the Dalai Lama arrive. The Tibetan God King sat on his throne and taught for 2 hours. He began in English, speaking about how all religions should come together. Same thing Pope Paul II, same thing Thomas Merton, and these other Catholic leaders were talking about years ago, and Francis is talking about today. He is trying to erase the lines that separate different faiths. We'll talk about this more at another time. All religions strive for the same thing, and all roads lead to the same place. After he finished this introduction in English, the rest of the teaching was in Tibetan. We stayed outside, hoping to catch some of our Tibetan vocabulary words in the Dalai Lama's teaching. English speakers went inside an auditorium to listen to translated teachings. We prayed during the teachings, and when we broke for lunch, we walked around and prayed more. We stood in front of the venue and asked God to open the eyes and the hearts of all these people. We prayed for him to have mercy on these souls. During the day, we did not feel any spiritual weight. We knew you were praying for us, and this brought us much peace and boldness to speak to those God put in our path. After lunch, the Dalai Lama performed a medicine puja. We have never attended a full puja because of demonic presence. And, you know, this is what we're talking about here. This shamanism is so heavy in this occult religion. We had no choice but to sit through this one. We managed to find seats away from the others. But we could see the Dalai Lama straight in front of us. We prayed and prayed and began reading the word out loud. We again asked God to reveal himself to these people. As we were reading the word, we received a call from home. Our son was calling us to tell us that our 15-year-old Boston Terrier had passed away. Ugh. Penny had not been feeling well a couple days leading up to the weekend. On Friday, she was getting back to her old self, so we thought she was back to being okay. This was a blow to us. God helped us to carry on for the rest of the day. The gal they went with rode back with us, which was nice because she kept the conversation on the light side. Anyway, today we feel beaten but certainly not defeated. We know the victory belongs to the Lord, and he will bring many Tibetans to know him. Thanks again for your intercession. So you could pray for my friends, Mr. and Mrs. Christian. and I apologize that I've been really had a lot of stuff I was trying to cover this week, and that I didn't fully research, you know, that particular word that I had to spell out for you there. I've certainly seen it before, but I apologize I didn't get a chance to check that out like I would have liked to for you. Now, we're about halfway through the time here, and I'd like to move to the next phase of the podcast. As I said before, I think recent podcasts we've been addressing the liberal movement, are the liberal movements of the ecumenical movement and the interfaith, interspiritual attempts to form one world religion. But in the news lately, and I did allude to this earlier, there's been concern about, you know, globalism and the one world government, and it, particularly in regards to the fact. For many of us who've studied Bible prophecy over the years and followed events in the world, and you know, including in the European Union, it says because of the United Kingdom's exit from the EU, many in the Christian community have tried to poo-poo the future ten-headed nation power base for the coming Antichrist, which is spoken of course, in Daniel and Revelation as well. In fact, well, it's spoken of, yeah, it's, anyway, yeah. In fact, a Christian satire site that I normally enjoy recently had some fun with dispensationalists' views in this regard. I don't have time to read that, but it was kind of spoofing the idea like, oh, now that UK has left, you know, what are these poor leaders going to do that have believed in all this Bible prophecy stuff about Europe, etc.? Now, all I know is that the dispensationalist teachers that I believe, of course, that are studying the Bible in the proper way of understanding it, have been predicting for decades, and in some, you know, in some of the issues longer, three different events that God's Word clearly proclaim will and are happening. And I want to rattle those off to you right here. For those of you who are regular listeners on Rapture Ready Radio, I know that you're, most of you are probably pretty well familiar with a lot of this, and that's why we won't go into a full prophecy details here, but we're going to just look at some of these things. And the three things that God's Word clearly proclaim will and are happening is Israel would one day be back in their land, prospering and under attack by demonically inspired anti-Semitism. Well, could anybody deny that this is happening? Number two, that Israel would one day be invaded by a coalition of Muslim nations led apparently by a newly configured Russia, who formerly known as the USSR. This is in the works, of course, and people would, it'd be hard-pressed to not see this coming together and forming, although many don't seem to see it, but it's been predicted for a long time by, most importantly, by the God's Word, but also by those who have looked at God's Word in a dispensational way. And then finally, that there would one day be a one-world religion with the Roman Catholic Church as a leader, as leading, I should say, apostate Christianity and false religions into unity. Now, this has been going on for some time. It seems to me that the Roman Catholic Church has been taking much of the lead in this. This is an article from Prophecy Scholars with the Lord Now, John Wolford, in his book Major Bible Prophecies, and he has this to say about the woman and the world church movement. And this, the woman being the one that rides the beast of Revelation 17. In the 20th century, further light has been cast on Revelation 17 by the rise of the world church movement. Prior to the 20th century, the professing church was divided into three major divisions: the Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, and Protestant churches. Division rather than unification seemed to be characteristic, particularly of the Protestant churches, as hundreds of denominations were formed, as well as thousands of independent churches. In the 20th century, however, a movement arose to unite churches into one great organization. The leaders of this movement contemplated that the time would come when the Greek Orthodox, Roman Catholic, and Protestant churches would all unite in a great world church, and with the governing power in a hierarchy controlling the entire church. The world church movements, and of course I've gone into some of this information before, but this is just added information historically that I wanted to add at this point. The world church movement began with a series of preliminary meetings in 1925 and 1927. In 1938, a temporary ecumenical world church was formed. Further progress was interrupted by World War II, but in 1948, the World Council of Churches was formally organized in a meeting in Amsterdam. The goal of this world church was to unite all Christendom into one great church. Now, this book was written in 1991, y'all, so this is, but still very pertinent. The world church movement is ill-conceived, the author says, as the Bible does not require a world church organization apart from the body of Christ. Undoubtedly, some Christians have embraced its approach to church government. When the rapture of the church occurs, however, every true Christian will be instantly removed, and those who are left will be professing Christians without the reality of saving faith. That's a nice way to put it. In this circumstance, it is easy to see how the world church movement can become completely apostate, as described in Revelation 17. The fulfillment, accordingly, will not be specifically by the Roman Catholic Church, although, and this is my comment to the side here, although I think the biggest mover and shaker, because of its interest in false religions as well, is the Catholic Church, but rather by the union of the three major branches of the church that exist in the world today. So not specifically, but again, a lot has to do with the RCC and their involvement in this. But without the sanctifying presence of genuine Christians, as such, the world church movement will be not only apostate in its theology, but abominable in its religious practices. And again, we've looked at a lot of this before, in regards to also the United Religions Initiative. Of course, we got into that somewhat too, another movement taking place that's not specifically Catholic. Now, so where in the Bible, and let me just make a little point here of my own, so where in the Bible does it say that the United Kingdom will be part of the European one world government power base for the Antichrist? Or for that matter, who says they still couldn't be? So for those that poo-poo the idea, well, let's just give this a little bit of time. Along these lines, I had the opportunity to take a short-term mission trip to Russia back in the 90s, shortly after the breakup of the USSR, when communism was left behind. Boris Yeltsin was running for a second term when I was over there. He was running for re-election. And the people over there had the idea that Russia, now a third world nation, could never have the power to be the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38 and 39. That is, being the leader of this invading coalition of Muslim states along with Russia invading Israel in the last days. Now, I was ridiculed to some degree by some of these folks for believing what I believed God's word had always predicted. And now, does anyone really doubt, like I said before, you know, that Vladimir Putin, Russia, and her anti-Israel Muslim allies could mount an invasion of Israel in our times? Those who believe in replacement theology and that God is through with Israel never seem to learn. They don't seem to learn that lesson. Well, you know, Russia at one time, everybody said, see, that could never happen. And yet what's happening? So should we just toss the UK out? You know, I'm going to have something else to say about UK later pertaining what, you know, a possibility of what might happen down the road. But I want to stay on point here with the time that I have remaining. As I said, this will be a two-part podcast, I'm sure, to finish up. Now, I would say that the UK's decision is probably good in that they have decided to reject the insane liberalism of her European partners' policies toward Islam. And more, I'll have more to say on that in an upcoming article that I retrieved recently from one of the articles I will be talking about later. But only God knows exactly how it will all pan out. You know, who knows? You know, will the Ezekiel 38-39 decimation of Islam solve the problems that the European Union is having now with, you know, with Muslims and what, you know, what they're doing to people, how they're harming people in the name of, you know, the loving religion that they are, you know, by becoming extinct for all intents and purposes and UK coming back into the EU? That's just speculation on my part. But, you know, after the decimation of these Islamic troops in Ezekiel 38 and 39, you can read all about it all for yourself. I can't imagine anybody wanting to follow the false god Allah any longer. You know, he'll be seen as a powerless, you know, shell of a former, you know, mask of Satan that he is. And, you know, if people follow this religion because they're so all-powerful and Allah's all-powerful and such a power religion, well, what's going to happen when they're decimated? I can't imagine them, a lot of people signing up, myself. And like I say, maybe that would solve the problem to where the UK would be more in line with getting back together with the European Union, you know, as the liberals, the folly of their ways will be shown, you know, when Islam will no longer be able to wreak havoc as they've been doing. That's all speculation, of course, but I find it interesting to think about that. Now, I've been reading another book. It's an older book, or rereading a book by Gary Fraser called Seven Signs of the Second Coming of Christ. And we will just probably touch on that as my time is quickly coming to a halt here. But in his book, he has, you know, seven signs, as I say, and in seven different chapters, he cites these seven major signs of the second coming of Christ. Of course, he believes, as I do, that the rapture will come first, and then the second coming bodily of Christ to judge the world and to save Israel from the peril that she'll be in. So there are those two phases of the second coming. He talks all about that in this book, but he talks about the seven different signs, and you know, he talks about the rebirth of the nation of Israel as the number one sign. He talks about the reunification of Europe. In chapter 2, he talks about the raid of Gog and Magog, which is, of course, the Ezekiel 38 and 39 invasion that's spoken of. He speaks in chapter 5 of the rise of a one-world religion. And, you know, throughout that book, he talks about many of these prophetic topics. And so I'm going to just touch on a few of the things he has to say in that book next week, as well as I say, some of the articles that are currently taking place, even as we see the pieces of the puzzle fitting together. We don't know exactly how they're going to all fit exactly, but we do know that God's word is true. And, you know, the pieces of the prophetic puzzle are really flowing together fast, because in every area of modern society throughout our culture in America and the world, we just see so many things that are indicating that the Lord's coming soon. And so with that in mind, I'm going to close for today.